Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. As always, every week, no disruption, just like it's always been. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Two in a row, Matt.
Two in a row. We're like Cal Ripken of the podcast.
Who's got the what are they, the Iron Man going into the NHL right now? Do we know?
Well, it's Phil Kessel.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, Phil Kessel had the record. I think he still does. There may be one other person. I'm not sure. But Phil Kessel was right at the top of the list. But the thing is he played a game where it's like, I'm not going to get hurt. And he's an excellent player. He'll get in the Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he wasn't someone known to get into the dirty areas that much.
There's stories of him coming back to the bench after a couple shifts and going to the bench. I don't got it tonight, guys. What? But we've got 57 more minutes.
Yeah, you guys go on ahead without me. I'll be out hanging out over here.
It's that hot dog diet. Yeah. It just keeps you going.
Those days. Yeah, those the dark days of the Leafs when they were just shit. And then everyone's just yelling about analytics and Kuhlman or their no-name players.
I had to go to air once and talk about how Mike Brown returning from the injured list could give this team a spark.
Oof. Well, I remember before, the year before Matthews, maybe even 2 years before Matthews, where the only conversation was, this young guy Morgan Rielly looks pretty good. Like, there was nothing to talk about.
It's a great point, because when you watch Matthews, who's on another super heater,
yep,
and you see how he's just climbing up the ranks, he's catching, you know, like probably sometime next year, he'll surpass Sundin for most goals ever scored by a Leaf. I think he's like 50 or 60 off the pace or something like that. But you look back and you go, were we really trying to big up Tyler Bozak?
Oh, yeah.
Were we really trying to talk about Tyler Bozak as a number one center? And then you watch Austin Matthews, it's like, good God. What were we thinking?
It's always a reminder that when things are going bad for the current team, just remember, it used to be so bad. It used to be so bad.
Speaking of Iron Man, Matt, that's the second. I let the first cough go, but the second cough. So you've got to. There you go. Now you have said repeatedly that you never get sick.
It's true.
And I think in your mind, you've never been sick.
Well, I never got COVID, and I did get tested many times. And the reason why, I was more careful, unlike the rest of you. I never get sick. Bob, my time at Off the Record, I did not have one sick day. When we started doing Macko and Cos, the only day I missed was day two, and that was because of bad shrimp at Skydome when we went in one of the boxes. And if there's breaded shrimp and it's a slow-moving ball game, guess what? I'm a remorseless fishing machine.
Like Homer?
Like Homer, yeah.
Does that really sound like a man who had all he could eat?
And then what did you do, Mrs. Simpson? We went fishing.
I forgot about that.
It's so good. But
okay, but are you sick now?
I last Saturday night, Sunday, I certainly had illness-like symptoms. Headache, woozy, full head, the chills, body ache. Now that's gone away. Everything's gone, except for one thing. Mm-hmm. This really fucking annoying cough. I had to do some TV yesterday, like 20 minutes of TV, and I was fine. And then right when the show started, then I start coughing. I start my show with an 8-minute monologue. So me and the producer had a lot of fun with that.
You had to cough through an 8. First of all, okay, before we even get to the TV, because God, you flooded the zone with stuff here, man. So what were your symptoms of not being sick?
Headache.
Yep. Chills.
Chills, body ache.
Body ache.
Basically just feeling a little bit dizzy, lightheaded.
Dizzy, lightheaded.
Yeah, that.
Well, you know, Matt, a lot of people, some of them even doctors, would say that sounds like an illness.
Yeah. Okay, so I get sick. Like, but how
And cough. And let's not forget cough. That got this whole thing started. So cough, chills, headache, body ache, dizziness, not sick.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and lingering cough. Lingering cough that actually got worse as time went on.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, I don't want to be one of these fake internet experts.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I've read a couple things online and all of a sudden I'm an expert.
But. Hey, Mr. Joe Rogan with your ivermectin.
Look, Matt, I'm just asking questions. Yeah. Is it possible that you're actually sick or were?
I just, I don't view this as real sick. This
you're taking annoying. Medicine right in front of me right now. You just, what is the, you open up a bottle in front of me. What is it?
It's Mucinex, baby. It's Mucinex.
And what's that do?
It's daddy's little secret.
Daddy's little helper is Mucinex. Yeah. What's that? Does that keep you regular? Like, what does it do?
Oh, no, no. That's never been a problem.
oh, God.
This is
dark turn.
It's like a Swiss train station. But
you can't even talk, Matt. You're sick.
I cough more when I laugh. Apologies to the listeners, by the way, for this one. All right. So it's not. It's the sort of illness that's not really an illness. It's more of an annoyance. I can still do my radio show. I have a cough button. I know how to modulate my voice and all that sort of jazz. This is a pain in the ass.
I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm just going to make a final observation.
Yeah.
It's not an illness. It's an annoyance. It can be both.
Yeah.
It can be an illness that is annoying.
Yeah, but...
And if I were, like, again... Oh, yep. Cough it out. Yeah. Yep. Mucinex will kick in. What is it, by the way?
Oh, it's
Mucinex. I don't even know. Is it a cough syrup?
Multi-action congestion, cold and cough solution. Well, guess what? Start saluting my cough.
Well, you know, Matt, that's the kind of thing that I think someone who's not sick would take in order to treat the symptoms of their not sickness.
Couple things here. One, I'm like Jack Donaghy. I'm taking the illness and I've got a...
Mind crushing it?
I've got a crush of my mind vice.
Okay.
And I think that people that always say, oh, I'm coming down with something. They always come down with something. I always attack it the other way. I don't believe in illness. Just like I don't believe in climate change because I'm wearing a Jimmy Buffett-like shirt on January 24th. I don't believe in illness and I believe that's why I've had almost no sick days since 2000.
Well, Matt... Just as I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist. But I will say there is no climate change because I'm wearing a warm shirt. I think that's going to work.
Yeah.
I like these odds. By the way, this tough guy nonsense that you're into, I want to put a pin in it and come back to it with the Leafs, okay?
Okay.
Or we could just start here. Do you have anything else you want to discuss?
Well, there's one thing I wanted to discuss. I now know what it's like to be a parent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. As you could see, girlfriend Amy... broke her ankle skiing last Saturday.
Yep.
And now a lot of times I have to be attentive to her needs because, you know, she's on crutches. So like when I wake up in the morning, my first thought is I don't even think about me. I rush out of bed, start getting a tea ready, move her stuff downstairs. If she's going to have a bath, get the towels ready. Like I'm doing all these things for someone who needs care. And I remember doing this the other day. I'm like, huh, this is what it's like being a parent. The exact same thing.
Or it's what it's like being a boyfriend.
Huh.
Maybe what you're doing now for the first time is actually being a boyfriend. And you're like, wow, this is more work than I remembered.
I never had a girlfriend with crutches before.
Fair point. Matt, as a parent and a former boyfriend, not of yours, but of some.
Yep.
Poor fools. There's one essential piece that's missing here.
All right.
Is Amy yelling at you all the time and talking about what a lousy job you're doing helping her?
Opposite. She would say about how great a job I have been doing. Like even this morning, I like raced downstairs and vacuumed around because she has to sit on a couch all the time and trying to make sure everything's nice and clean and ready for her because, you know, no one likes to have a broken ankle and you're sitting there and you're bored. So my whole focus has been less on me and more on her.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I wish we could replay the tape here. It sounded like a light bulb went off. So wait a minute. You did things that were for someone else.
Yes. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me open up the window. You there, boy. Go get the largest goose in the butcher shop.
The largest one, sir.
Were you visited by three douchebags last night?
I was.
Who said, this is your future, Matt?
Douchebag past, present, and future. I got to tell you, those three. Douchebag past, that's the ghost I want to hang with.
Matt, you're taking care of your girlfriend who's got a broken ankle.
That's right.
And you're not sick while you're doing it. That's right. Are truly Canada's greatest hero.
Thank you. I had to host a wine event on Tuesday, and I couldn't take any of my lozenges because I couldn't let it to affect my palate as I'm trying to ascertain the different Priorac Grenaches we were drinking. Anyway, Maple Leafs.
Back to tough guys.
Yeah.
Reeves, Olivier.
Yes.
How fun was that?
A, so much fun that fight. B, Austin Matthews You could tell how much he loved the fight. Like, and I told my producers, we're not doing fighting in hockey. That's August. That's an August topic. And we're going to need it this August. You could see how much the players, they love fighting. And it's a reminder. No matter how much, you know, people in the media tisk it, the players still love it.
Yeah. I, you know, Matthews also came out and suggested maybe the crowd was a little sedate. And based on the epic nature of the tilt, it was a good fight. I don't know if it was an epic fight the way people say, but it's been so long since we had a, like, that used to be just a Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah.
A Tuesday night on SportsCenter, you'd see one or two of those.
Hockeyfights.com. There was a website. We used it all the time at OTR.
Sure
when guests would come on the show to find out how many fights they've been into. That website's now kind of useless.
Well, it got replaced by cap salary stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So we went from hockey fights to cap friendly.
And all those sites.
And he was kind of critical. Maybe the crowd didn't get up for it as much as they could, but it happened right off the top of the game.
Yeah, it was 95 seconds in. And also, it's hard to fully be into it because you need the lead up. You need the movie preview. It's like, oh, shenanigans, dirtiness, late hit, face wash. Oh boy, here comes a fight.
It's a really good point because the fight used to be the release valve. And you as the fan would be mad because there was a big hit over here and your player got wiped out or there was something dirty over here and it would accumulate over 10, 12, 15 minutes of hockey. And then the dam broke and everybody snapped. And without the dirty stuff, or at least without the competitive stuff, like it's pretty sanitary right now.
Yeah.
And maybe sanitized is another word for it. You know, the fight seems to almost come out of nowhere. It becomes like this obligatory thing that you have to do because two tough guys are on the ice. And even that doesn't happen very often.
No.
But it definitely, like I was watching it and I was thinking, everybody likes this. Can I just jump into my big topic? Because we're going to do fighting in hockey. But I've got a spin on it. You ready?
All right. Love it.
Do you think that the recent evolution of culture towards the manosphere and the broligarchy and that like guy stuff, Mark Zuckerberg coming out in a gold chain and talking about how much he loves the fights, the ascension of Dana White, UFC, there is a safe space for fighting and coarseness in general in mainstream culture that was just not there for the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. Would hockey benefit by leaning into the manosphere and recapturing some of its tough guy image? Because people are craving tough guy stuff.
There is always the debate about how, everyone got, and this is just some generalizations, everyone got softer and more sensitive and safe spaces and you're triggering me and all the talking points that you see on mainstream news, especially more on the right-leaning ones, that because of that, there was going to eventually lead to much more octagons and fighting and toughness. That it was a natural reaction, like hair bands and glam became nirvana.
Right.
You know, and all that kind of stuff. One bounces off the other.
Well, this is the essence of my point is now we are in the backlash phase.
Right.
That for 20 years, like, and you and I had lots of guests come on. When we started off the record, which was in the mid-90s, people would come on and say, hockey is part of the game. When we were doing Macko and Cause in 2012 or whatever it was, people would come on and say, we got to get this because it's not part of the game. There was just an evolution away from it. But culture has shifted back. And the fact that UFC is so dominant, the fact that Hulk Hogan is on stage at the RNC, you know, the Republican National Convention, all this stuff. I'm not even down, like I'm not saying it's stupid. What I'm saying is there is an appetite for tough guy stuff. Look, I think hockey's too soft. Mm-hmm. I think football's too soft. How many times did you watch, you know, every single weekend there's a freaking, that wasn't a hit on the quarterback conversation.
We'll get to Mahomes because
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So hockey is uniquely situated amongst the big four sports to position itself as a tough guy sport because it always was a tough guy sport. That's exactly who it appealed to. Even as Canadians, most of us have a sort of romantic time when we looked at a hockey player and thought of them as a, you know, it's, I don't want to say soldier because there's an ethical component to that, but a warrior.
Yeah.
Do you think of Mitch Marner as a warrior? I love Mitch Marner, but do you think of him as a warrior?
No, not at all.
You think of William Nylander as a warrior?
I do not think of him as a warrior.
Even a guy as dignified and Jean Beliveau-like as a John Tavares, do you think of him as a warrior?
Tavares maybe a little bit more, but yeah. I get the point. I get the bigger point.
Even a guy who's filled with integrity, like it's not part of the character anymore of your heroes to say they're incredibly tough. So I wonder whether or not hockey, like in the powers that be within that game, you know, maybe tweak it up a little bit. What are you sending out there on the algorithm? What are you putting out in TikTok? Is it a nice goal or is it the Reeves and Olivier fight?
Well, I think the one way we'll find out if this is actually going to happen is, do we start seeing on the official Twitter feeds or Instagram, whatever, do they start showing more hits and more fighting? Like, what do they start showing more?
You know, and this is really the question I'm throwing to you, is if you were in charge of that feed and you saw the reaction to Reeves, Olivier, and let's face it, it was a nothing game in the middle of the week between two teams that don't give a shit about each other. And the next day, the whole city was buzzing. Would you put it out there? Would you frontline it? Or would you frontline, here was a great save by Elvis Merzlikins?
I would do the fight. At the very least, throw it out there like a trial balloon. You know, the first thing that's going to have to happen here before you start throwing that out there is the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, well, if we start glorifying this more and then that guy got in a fight, gets a concussion, that's that'd be the one pushback is how do the lawyers get into all of this?
Yeah, because the lawyers make everything so much better. I'm just curious, Matt.
Yeah.
The point is the obvious one, which is sports have been moving away from its tough guy image for a lot of years. And there's a lot of fans who felt left behind because that's kind of what they liked about it. There's a safer space for that now. And look, you know me, I am not Republican.
Mm-hmm.
My politics are center left.
Yep.
But I like hockey fights.
Yeah.
I always have. I watched it and I thought, you know, I kind of missed this. But I also always liked UFC fighting. And when UFC fighting started, the octagon was synonymous with bozo camp. Like, if you liked this stuff, you must, you know, be a couple chromosomes short. But that's not true anymore. And even if it is true, nobody cares. It's become enormous billion-dollar business. And Dana White, along with Joe Rogan, might, and Elon Musk, obviously. But we live in an era where everybody fights. Like, our freaking social media is one big fight. We live in this gigantic Hunger Games where everyone is after each other all the time. I don't think we need to run from this anymore. People seem to like it.
Last year, one of the biggest celebrities in the NHL was Matt Rempe. Now, it hasn't been as much this year. It's been a kind of a down year for the Rangers. But he was a celebrity because he was a throwback. He was something we hadn't seen something like that in a while. So, you know, that's it's a really fascinating question. And it's just, but where does the NHL go? Do they embrace this more? Because for the longest time, nope, it's not us. And do they lean back into it? Because, yeah, we are seeing it in so many other avenues. And, yeah, I love that fight. And the players love that fight. And by the way, if we're speaking about physicality, I was kind of okay with Connor McDavid cross-checking Connor Garland in the face. I'd rather he hadn't. But I looked at that moment, I'm like, your star player is getting held for the final 20 seconds of the most important game, of the most important point of that game, and the refs did nothing, and McDavid is like, bleep it. And I was like, nope, Connor McDavid has won 20-plus awards. He is allowed a free cross-check.
We all know in our hearts that we love it because he was willing to break the rules to win.
Yeah.
And he was willing to show a certain amount of anger. I also wonder about this as a strategic thing. You know, the cap has made a lot of the talent bases of the best teams kind of equal. There isn't really a runaway best NHL team. We talked about this. So if you have got, say, six or seven teams that are about as good as each other, isn't toughness one of the distinguishing characteristics when you get into the playoffs?
We see it every year. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why in the end it didn't work with, even though Kyle Dubas tried to bring toughness in by the end. It still didn't work.
It's one of those things I think everybody has to learn is that it's a bit, okay, here's an analogy.
All right.
Pat Riley once said about basketball, it's important to be good. It's better to be good and tall.
Yes.
And in some ways, I wonder if toughness isn't the height of the NHL. It's better to be good and tough. Used to be you got drafted, you could get drafted for goals. You could get drafted for penalty minutes because there was a tough guy role to fill. But the best thing you could be was good with penalty minutes.
Look at the Tkachuks.
Yeah.
Now look at Matthew Tkachuk, one of the main
reasons. That's a great
point. Why the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup.
Well, you look at Nazem Kadri. There's rumors that maybe the team's going to go out and try and get him to bolster their situation down the middle. He got run out of town because he couldn't control his competitive spirit.
Correct.
And that was not the shit show they wanted to run out there. And now you kind of wish that he was doing that stuff, not getting suspended from the playoffs. That's obviously too far. But just that personality. The more the Leafs invest in those kinds of personalities, the better they seem to do. And the more we seem to like them.
Oh, we do. Because we can relate more to snarl than we can to sizzle, just as a sports fan.
I think we also instinctively, and you brought up Tkachuk, and that was a great one, because as great as Auston Matthews was, you know, Tkachuk outplayed them when they played Florida.
Yep.
And part of that was excellence. Another part of that was just, I'll put your head through the boards mentality. So when Connor McDavid, to your point, acts in a way that we're like, ooh, that's not very Selke-like, deep down in our hearts, we know, oh, he's probably better off, better chance he's going to win then.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And a lot of people are applauding it because maybe opponents won't take the same sort of liberties Adam will see. Three game suspension for the best player in hockey. Good job, NHL. We didn't get to see Ovi versus McDavid. We didn't get to see the rematch, which was last night in Edmonton. Easily won. Go sort of to the Patrick Mahomes thing, where how the NFL treats Patrick Mahomes is the opposite to how the NHL treats Connor McDavid.
Well, do you want to do anything else on the Leafs, or do you want to jump right over to football?
It's, you know what?
It's a big football week.
It's a very big football weekend. If the Leafs, everything's fine.
Yeah.
You know, everything's fine right now.
They found a way to make a midweek game against Columbus interesting.
Well, the funny thing there is, like, it goes back to playing the hits. Why is it so quiet at the ACC? And then it was that conversation and corporate tickets, rich people. And the one thing I was yelling and screaming about, I'm like, first off, we need the line I wanted to say, but I didn't, because, you know, I can understand people could take it the wrong way. I don't understand the comedy. I'm like, how dare everyone rip the people in the lower bowls? Those proud, hardworking Caucasians, they're the ones who help pay for a larger performance staff on the Maple Leafs org chart. Like, I want to do the whole joke, but then when I throw in hardworking Caucasians, everyone's like, ooh, you can't do that. I'm like, do you see the comedy? I'm just being sarcastic about it all. But that was the debate the other day.
To your point, when Strombo and I used to have a talk show on CFRB, we used to bring you on as a stringer.
Yes.
And you are our WWF reporter.
Yeah.
White, wealthy, and fucking rich.
Yes, that's right.
And you used
right.
to come on
that's right.
and analyze the news from the perspective of a rich white guy.
Yes. Yeah, that was I love doing that bit. It was fun playing the villain.
Got it. And you really embraced it.
Yeah. I was like, sometimes I was on the beach in Naples, Florida. That was, and by the way, someone did tweet at me about how out of touch you are. Not a shock when all you do is talk about wine on your Muskoka deck. And I explained to the person, I'm often on my Muskoka dock as well. Not just the deck, sometimes the dock. But, you know, it's funny. People will always hear what they want to hear. But yeah, there's not really a lot to talk about with the Maple Leafs right now.
So to that point, you know how you said fighting is for August?
Yep.
Until they get to the playoffs, it's all August.
Yeah, it is. Buffalo Bills.
Okay, well, I was thinking, because your show, Game Day, is it still called Game Day? I should know this. I don't listen.
Gameplay. Yeah, come on.
So, yeah, I don't know, Matt. I haven't listened in about four years.
You don't hear, you don't get you don't download the podcast?
Yeah, I'm right on that.
Quite easy.
So, but you are something of a gambling expert. So I want you to break down both games. Give us the preview of the show you're going to do later today.
I'm still debating the opening thought, but it's basically, the opening thought is actually not even really gambling. It's more, we need Washington and Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I was going to ask, what's your dream matchup? Okay, explain.
Well, because Buffalo's the easy one. We're all rooting for the city. I find we always root for cities that are in cold areas. We're like, oh, that poor city, it's freezing all the time. No one ever goes to like some small beach town outside of San Diego and go, ah, those guys really need a break.
Poor Tampa Bay.
Yeah, exactly. No one ever does that. So Buffalo's the easy one. We love rooting for Josh Allen. Like, it's an easy team to cheer for.
Well, and there's wide right.
Yeah.
There's the history of Super Bowl near misses,
mm-hmm.
which it feels like Buffalo as an industrial town that, you know, went through a big series of hard times, kind of like Detroit. Wish Detroit was there, but there are just certain places where also there's a hard luck feeling to them, but the people are scrappy. And deep in our hearts, we'd like to think that we could be like that. Although, to your point, Matt, sometimes you're on the deck mm-hmm. and sometimes you're on the dock.
Yeah, both are delightful.
All right, so Buffalo and Washington. All right, well, so let's start with the AFC then, because it's Kansas City, it's Buffalo, it's in Kansas City, it's 1-2. It's the matchup we've been waiting for all year. Who you got?
I got Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Kansas City because Buffalo beat Baltimore because they forced 3 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at every other statistic, Baltimore was the better team. Taking nothing away from Buffalo. What Buffalo did offensively in the first half, They pushed around the Ravens. That was impressive on those three touchdowns. But in the second half, they got conservative. They had two field goals, and that was it. They won because of turnovers. Here's the problem. Patrick Mahomes has one interception in his last 2 months. In six AFC championship games, he's got two picks, both of them in that loss to Cincinnati. The Chiefs haven't committed a single turnover in their last eight games. Kansas City is boring as shit, but they know what to do. Safe passes, run the ball, excellent defense. They're not the high-flying offense in the past. For Buffalo to win, they're going to have to force turnovers against a team that doesn't turn the ball over.
Buffalo has tried to be more balanced in its offense. Joe Brady has tried to rely less on the extraordinary talents of Josh Allen.
Yep.
And I was reading a stat just the other day about how yards per first down, on first down, every year under different coordinators and continues to drop. And that's simply because they use Josh Allen less and less on first down. They're running the ball to set up a second and five. Or would you take the restrictor plate off of Josh Allen a little bit, knowing that they probably have to win in a shootout against Kansas City because they're not going to hold them down?
Yeah, they can't be as conservative. There's going to have to be some times where it's going to have to be throwing the ball deep.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that at all against Baltimore. And if they don't, listen, they can be conservative if they get a bunch of turnovers. But Buffalo, was up 21-7, 21-7, 21-10 yep. at the half.
At the half.
They could be more conservative, and it worked by the hair of the chinny chin chin with Mark Andrews fumbling the ball and dropping the two-point conversion. That's not going to happen. Travis Kelce is not going to fumble. He's not going to drop the ball. All this guy does is put up massive numbers in the postseason. Every time. It's the safest bet out there.
Quite the opposite. I expect at some point it will be close. Within three, maybe somewhere in the second half. And Travis Kelce will do one of those fucking across the middle,
yep.
I'm giant and fast things where all of a sudden he turns a play that should have been 10 yards into one that was 40. And he's going to have two smaller guys chasing him. And they're going to finally bring him down. And everyone's going to go, oh, here they come. And it will be true. And KC will take off and wind up winning by 10.
At some point, I can guarantee, Bob, you're going to be watching the game and you're going to say the line, how is he so open? You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're like, why is he so open? It's the same way you're going to yell, that wasn't roughing the passer. That's the two things you yell at a screen for a Chiefs game. That wasn't roughing the passer. And how the hell is he that wide open?
Also, that wasn't an illegal hit on Patrick Mahomes. At some point, someone is going to get within 3 yards of him.
Yeah.
And they're going to throw a
flag. That's the roughing the passer. Yeah.
It's did you say passer or catcher?
Passer.
Oh, sorry. My apologies.
Yeah, yeah. No. It could be lossage in my throat.
Although you're doing great for a sick guy, you're powering through.
I haven't coughed in over 25 minutes.
No, I know. You're heroic.
Thank you.
But that's because you're not sick.
That's right.
Mucinex.
Mucinex.
This is an ad. Maybe we should get Jeff Pollock and Mucinex to sponsor the
And by the way, you know, good little break there. Jeff Pollock, and we've both been chatting with him, and he's thrilled that the pod is starting up again. JeffPollock.com. And if you need a lawyer, let's say you're taking lots of Mucinex, and you're still coughing, and you need to sue Big Mucinex, you want a lawyer, go get Jeff Pollock. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. Easy to find, fantastic in terms of just every form of law.
Before we move on to the NFC Championship,
yeah.
Are there any small bets, side bets, stunt bets? What do they call stunt bets again? Kooky ones?
No, it's just parlays, player prop bets, things like
prop
that.
Prop bets, that's prop what bets. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the manosphere. I don't know what a prop
exactly.
is.
I'm just taking the you take the over. I would take the over for Kelce receiving yards. I take the over for Mahomes rushing. It'll be a low number, but Mahomes always, there's going to be a third and 11, and he's not even fast. And he somehow just weaves. He weaves his way. He snakes his way for a 13-yard gain. It's going to happen.
Yeah, he's kind of, you're right. It's not that he's super fast or elusive. He's not Lamar. He's not Josh Allen, who's so big and hard to bring down. It's like my name for Patrick Mahomes now is Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
He runs like he's Destiny.
Yeah.
How did he get 11 yards? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it was Destiny.
You know what it is? It's often been said. I'm trying something here.
Okay.
You always hear that Prince was great at basketball.
Yes.
You always hear that. I'd like to see what it would look like when he drove to the basket for a layup. I feel that's the way that Patrick Mahomes runs on third and 11, just sort of weaving his way.
Okay, so Prince, maybe not as a kid, but once he became Prince, the world's greatest musician, he's playing pickup at Paisley Park on his court. Mm-hmm. Something tells me him driving to the bucket is like Vladimir Putin on a breakaway in a Russian political hockey charity game.
Or if we're going to be even Obama when he was playing pickup basketball
right
at the White House.
I don't think anybody's taken him out.
No.
Oh, an elbow right to the chiclets.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty easy route to the basket.
Okay, so Washington and Philly, it feels like I want to hear you make the case for both teams, actually.
Well, I mean, the case for Philly is quite easy. They have the best defense. You know, they drafted all those young guys from Georgia, like Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith Jr., that guys like this, that they can do the thing you want the most in football on defense. Can you apply pressure with four? And they can. And then you can drop everyone else back and make life miserable for Jaden Daniels. And that's the main way. Mm-hmm. And also beyond that, they run the shit out of the ball. Saquon Barkley is on a tear in the playoffs. Saquon Barkley had over 100 yards in both games of the regular season against the Commanders. Jahmyr Gibbs torched the Commanders' defense. We forget about it because all the Jared Goff turnovers. But Detroit ran the ball over Washington. Philly's done it before. So it feels like an easy Philly win because they can overwhelm on both sides.
As a Giants fan,
yep,
a lifelong Giants fan.
That's right.
Is it hard to watch Saquon Barkley doing this? Because it is like watching an ex. If suddenly you ran into her at the farmer's market or something and you're like, holy shit, she looks great.
Yeah. No, not with him. Because his presence with the Giants was always dumb. They never should have drafted him. He was always empty calorie with the team. He'd have 1,400 yards and the team would be 23rd in rushing. Saquon Barkley doesn't help a team like the Giants. Saquon Barkley helps a team like the Eagles. You know, he's someone who can help put you over the top. You don't rebuild with a running back. You know, you rebuild with tackles and corners and eventually finding the quarterback.
That's an interesting point, Matt, that when you think about how to build a team, and every sport has its own logic, what you need first, what you have to have. There's been a lot of talk about the running back this year because Derrick Henry's been so good, and it just feels like the running back...
James Cook, Josh Jacobs with Green Bay. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. And for years, the running back was seen as some interchangeable third-rate piece for your team to have. And that maybe is less true now. Definitely is less true now. But it doesn't really help a team that needs to build.
Yeah.
It's the finishing piece. I'm trying to think of, is it like a closer in baseball where if you're going to take that final leap, like it's not really going to help you if you're on the docket to win 75 games?
Yes.
So
yeah, exactly.
The running back is the closer.
You know, it's a great analogy. Yeah, that's exactly who it is. It's not taken away from the talents of the individual athlete. It's that you don't make sense at this time. You know, they always say that sometimes relationships like, we met too early or we met too late. Same thing here. The Giants and Saquon Barkley, they met too soon.
Talking about Saquon's making you sick, though.
Yeah,
Matt.
I know. No, I'm
Mucinex. Where are you?
Oh, you stupid Mucinex! I'm doing jack shit. But God, but like he was never needed, you know. And he put the Eagles over the top. It's a perfect marriage.
And the case for Washington?
Jaden Daniels is so goddamn good. My favorite statistic about Jaden Daniels: if you look at all the rookie quarterbacks that have gone to a championship game, like Brock Purdy, Joe Flacco, Sean King, there's about five, Ben Roethlisberger, all the guys, and it's about five or six of them, all of them had a defense that was ranked in the top three. Jaden Daniels' defense is ranked 17th. He's not getting the benefit of other rookie quarterbacks who have at least, don't worry if you fuck up, we got a great defense here, we'll be there to keep you in a game. Also, if we're going back to sports betting, at the beginning of the year, there was only two or three teams that had a lower projected win total than Washington. They weren't supposed to be good. And in comes this guy, and they're great. So it's the Jaden Daniels factor. He's not a young guy by rookie standards. He played a lot in college. He's seen it all. He's beaten Philly already. He beat Detroit. He's won close games, the game against Tampa, two late drives. So that you're not going to rattle him. That's the case.
Matt, that was a really great breakdown of both the AFC and the NFC.
Thank you.
This show, Gameplay?
Yeah.
So when's it on?
It's at 2 to 4 on TSN 1050.
And what's that? Is that like a TV station? Or
that is a radio station.
Radio, so...
Yeah,
and,
terrestrial
and,
radio.
And what's that?
Terrestrial radio. Ask your grandparents. Okay. Don't ask your dad. Ask your grandparents. By the way, all these notes, slightly off topic. I was doing them. Amy... You know, she's sitting here, she's bored. So I'm like, okay, let's put on movies we haven't seen recently. So last night, our two movies, Long Legs, the mm-hmm. newest horror movie with Nick Cage, and then Fatal Attraction.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is a good setup for ...
Ooh, okay. Ooh, is it all about Glenn Close or Michael Douglas?
Not exactly.
Is it Hot Ann Archer talk?
I will not be forgotten, Matthew.
Yeah.
How did you find watching Fatal Attraction again? Then we'll get to ... I want your reaction.
It actually really holds up.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It really holds up. One, I feel nostalgia for like when I would go to my parents' office as a kid in the TD Tower brokerage where everyone was smoking and drinking during the day and that was just the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's you know, smoking and drinking is the norm and people are smoking in restaurants. It was a delight. And the meatpacking district prominently featured. It held up. It held up. And if Glenn Close had won the Oscar over Cher for Moonstruck, I would have been fine with that.
Well, I definitely want to get into some hot Oscar talk with you in a little bit. But I have a streaming hack that I found. Because I spend half my life scrolling trying to figure out what to watch.
Right.
Increasingly, I'm going back to Top Gun Maverick.
Ooh.
Which is weirdly becoming almost like an AMC movie for me, but for streaming. In that when I... go past it, I'm like, I should watch a little bit of this.
I got to put on 10, 15 minutes.
It's like a little comfort food, you know? It's like mac and cheese but for movies. But my streaming hack is because I spend so much time trying to figure out what to watch, I now go to the Leaving Soon menu.
Yes. Yeah, because it's like, oh, if I don't watch it now, when will I ever be able to watch it
again? I need deadlines make deals.
Mm-hmm.
I need an artificial deadline. Well, it's not artificial. It's a real deadline.
Yeah.
I don't need to re-watch The Fog by John Carpenter. But I did. And why? Because it's leaving soon on Amazon.
This is hilarious. I have never seen Escape from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it last night.
Because?
Well, actually, this was just because it was on, but John Carpenter.
Right.
Like, we're just doing two John Carpenter films.
So to build on that, Matt.
Yeah.
That movie, Escape from New York,
uh-huh.
also leaving soon.
Yes.
What am I doing this weekend? Watching Escape from New York.
It's weird seeing Donald Pleasance without the trench coat chasing Michael Myers.
It's weird to see him in anything that isn't Loomis.
Yeah. Loomis or Blofeld.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. But although Blofeld, that kind of just went in the archive.
Yeah.
Let's face it, he's Dr. Loomis. Do you want to do ... or hot Oscar talk?
Let's do ...
Okay. I did my streaming hack, which was one of them, Top Gun Maverick. Okay, ready?
Yep.
The LA Lakers are like America. They're both failing empires, and they're both being run by an old man who has defeated the odds to still be here and is amazing at attracting attention, but doesn't seem to make the best business decisions. ... What happens first? The Giants get into the Super Bowl, or Matt uses crypto?
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And and one last one here. The Raptors have no all-star, and that is a little concerning. ...
Well, okay, let's do the middle one, get it away fast. It'll be the Giants winning the Super Bowl.
You'll never use crypto?
No. I still don't really know what it is. And my friend of the family is in charge of all my investments, and I basically email him every 6.5, 7 months going, hey, Rob, just checking in. How's the money? And, you know, it's right now it's doing a little bit better. Sometimes it's done a little bit worse. And that's kind of it for me.
Which is a strong investing strategy, actually, which is just sink it into the S&P 500 and let it sit.
Is the S&P 500, is that where Max Verstappen races in? Is that one of those races?
It is. Yeah, it's happening in Dubai right now. But the thing about crypto that I love for you, Matt, is that you don't know any less than anybody else. Because nobody knows what this thing is.
Ooh,
Matt, this
is Plainfield.
Yes, this is a chance for you to not be a technophobe or a Luddite. You've been ripped for years because you don't have a proper phone. You used a BlackBerry, I think, until 2019.
Yeah, I that.
You know, you've always been, the joke is Matt doesn't know anything about tech.
Yeah.
Tech for you is like driving a car for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know any less than anybody, Matt, because nobody knows what crypto is. You are at the very least average.
Okay. So how do I... Where do I go to get some of this crypto?
Well, apparently there's a hardware store just around the corner where I can buy some Ethereum.
Yeah, okay.
Or you should get Trump coin, which is either worth $8 billion or nothing. I can't tell.
Bob, I've invested all my money in the Hawk Tua coin, so that's, I hear. Look at that, see? I know one thing.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, you're good.
The Raptors.
Yes, no All-Star, which is a little concerning.
Yeah. They beat Atlanta last night, and I was so happy with the win.
Yeah.
Because they won with Scottie Barnes not just taking 11 shots. Mm-hmm. And with Scottie Barnes hitting shots late in the fourth quarter of a close game. That's what you want to see. I'm like, great, if he's going to do that, and Grady Dick is going to, you know, look fairly good shooting, those are the building blocks you want to see going forward. But right now, no one deserves to be an All-Star.
It's true. And you'd like to think that Emmanuel Quickley's good play is exciting. You'd like to think that RJ Barrett continued on his heater to start the season. But I don't think either of those guys are quote-unquote building blocks.
No.
It's all about Scotty. And we've talked about this. Scotty Barnes, to me, like I said, is going to be Chris Bosh, where he's going to be good enough to elevate a bad team to mediocre and probably not much more than that. But Chris Bosh is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he got out of Toronto because he realized when you're a certain kind of player, you need good players around you. You're not going to be the best player on a team that wins championships. He went and he was the third best player on the Heat. I feel like that's Scotty's future. And if they can get someone in the top three or four this year, they might evolve into that alpha and Scotty can be what he is, which is a great connector. I'll tell you my concern with Scotty, man.
Yeah.
His three-point shooting is not getting better.
It's not.
And he can't be great without it. He can be good. He can be very effective. He can be an important part of a team. But he can't be a great NBA player with his skill set and not be at least a pretty good three-point shooter. Look at me all serious about this.
Well, it's, I mean, because we are like, you know, when it comes to the Raptors, I feel like Lawrence Fishburne in The Matrix. I'm waiting and I'm looking for signs.
Who's my Neo?
Who is my Neo? And there are moments where I'm like, is Scotty my Neo? And he's not. And part of the problem is that the Raptors, sometimes the best version of the Raptors is Scotty Barnes taking 13 shots. That means he's a great defender. He's a great passer. He's a great team player. Smart guy. Wants everyone else to do well. But to be truly great, I need my Neo to take 19 to 21 shots.
Hockey is a game where greatness is measured by your ability to elevate those around you and for all to succeed. Basketball, when it comes down to it, is more like the States. It really is, no matter how much you talk about teamwork, about the excellence of the individual, and this internal competition in which one alpha must rise superior above all. And you feel like on a good team, Scotty would never be that guy. You know, when he came to the Raptors, Masai Ujiri, and I don't believe he's lying, but he said in his entrance interview, talked about winning the whole time. He couldn't stop talking about winning, and they loved that about him. He was all about winning. So I'm not suggesting this, that he's not competitive. But without that three-point shooting or some sort of skill that he doesn't have now, he's not going to be that guy. Like, even if he wanted to be that guy, he's not going to be that guy.
He could be number two. And by the way, that's... Again, this all goes back to the cruelty of the NBA. We need to find that guy. Well, how many of them are there? Oh, there's eight. Is there nine? No, there's not nine. There's eight of them, and we know who they are.
Okay, OKC is exciting.
Yes.
Not because they did such an incredible job building out a team, and God, they have so much talent, and they did so many smart things. But Shea fell into their lap, and he is a top five player in the NBA, so they can win.
Yes.
We are waiting for the San Antonio Spurs to be good enough for Wemby to take over. It's not there yet. It will come.
It will come.
Hopefully, presumably it'll come. Yeah, it's just Scotty's not that guy, and that's why this is concerning. Because if you're talking about building a winner, nobody looks like a winner right now. I'm not saying they don't necessarily look like they could be good. They just don't look like winners.
No, and unfortunately for that, they're going to need draft luck. They're going to need to get the right guy. That guy's going to have to be developed properly, and that's where we are with the Raptors.
Okay, LA Lakers are like America, failing empires, both being run by an old man who has defeated the odds to still be here, is great at attracting attention, but maybe not the best business decisions. Come on, Matt, that's good.
It's, oh no, I paused out of respect.
Thank you.
out of, you know why they carry the groceries? Out of respect.
Great reference.
Thank you. My favorite thing with the Lakers, and they beat the Celtics last night. And yeah, no, it's often been said LeBron James is Donald Trump. He says it all the time.
Oh, and I'm sure he'd love that comparison.
I'm sure he would be just thrilled with that comparison. And then, oh, Bronny is Eric. I mean, this.
Bronny is Baron.
Yeah, yeah.
About the same height. I think Baron's probably taller.
Why do you name your kid Baron? Like, you're just setting it up.
You know what? Trump used to phone into the newspapers in New York when he wanted to leak a story about him. Mm-hmm. And he used a fake name, but he would be on the phone. And the fake name he used?
Was Baron?
It was Baron.
Jesus. I loved Anthony Davis coming out and saying, you know what we need for this team? And this was after they beat the Celtics last night. We need a center. It's like, I'm always better at the four. It's basically Anthony Davis going, you know what? I'm tired of getting hit a lot. I'm tired of my back and my hip. And I just, can we get some of those to do the dirty work? It's like, Anthony, you're one of the biggest, you're one of the best centers in the league. He's like, I don't really want to be center. I want to be the four.
There's a certain thing that drives fans nuts, and it's when you don't play your body type. Remember Nick Antropov? He was like 6'6", but he didn't play that big.
Yeah.
And so you'd forget he was 6'6". Even Austin Matthews, to agree, he's learned how to play bigger. But he's not really, like, tough. But he has learned to play bigger.
What?
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yes.
Anthony Davis. Any number of guys. Even when Wemby jacks up threes, you're like, but you're 7'4". Play your body.
Yeah, get in close. It's, oh, yeah. No, that one's always infuriating. I had another example now. Like when the Leafs would take on Boston a couple of years ago. And I'd always remind everyone, like, oh, it's the big bad Bruins. Toronto. Every player on Toronto was bigger than anyone on Boston.
They just don't play bigger.
No, Marchand is tiny.
Yeah.
Brad Marchand's a tiny man.
He really couldn't be that annoying and be big, though, right?
Yeah.
It's an archetype.
Right. It's a good point.
It's an archetype. You can't be like an agitator and big.
Yeah, you can't.
Then you're just a bully.
It's a good point. You can't be a Greek god. Like, you can't be peak Dwight Howard and an agitator. It's a good point.
By the way, before we move on to the Oscars, you were saying how you're like Lawrence Fishburne in The Matrix, looking for who was going to be your Neo.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Scotty. I have often compared Scotty Barnes's game to Sean Marion.
Yes.
What was Sean Marion's nickname?
Ooh, The Matrix. Very good.
Full circle. All right. So let's talk Oscars. The nominees just came out. The award, I think it's the ceremony is going to be March the 2nd, I think.
I got to take a look.
I think it's the 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay. So Conan O'Brien is going to host.
Awesome.
Thoughts on that?
I love it. Love it. Classic host. Really, really smart guy. He'll have a very good team of writers around him. He knows how to be cutting and self-deprecating. And this feels like more of just what we grew up with. Give me the classic host with the chops. Love it.
You know, and I love Conan, but I kind of wish Kimmel was doing this year for one specific reason.
Mm.
One, Kimmel is really funny.
Kimmel's great.
Yeah, he does a great job. But he also has shown the capacity to do serious stuff. Like, he can toggle between the two.
Yeah.
You watch him crying about healthcare and his kid and just, you know, you remember that moment his show. He does serious well. And because this is going to be the Oscars of the wildfires in L.A., I feel like Kimmel would be able to navigate the tone, which has to be two things, entertaining and respectful to the fact that the city was just decimated.
Yeah.
And, you know, tens of thousands of properties burned. So as much as I love Conan, I feel like this is Taylor, like, you wouldn't want Billy Crystal because he's going to do, hey, shtick.
Yeah.
You know, jazz hands, waka waka. No, you want Kimmel, who's very, very talented.
Oh, yeah. He does a great job hosting.
You know, like, Ricky Gervais is too mean.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want him out there because how are you going to rip a room full of people who've lost all their stuff?
Yeah.
What's the English word for comeuppance? Yeah. Oh, I guess it's comeuppance.
We got to work on your British accent there. But then I don't have a Ricky
Gervais. I didn't even try.
I don't have a Ricky Gervais in my toolbox, so I couldn't even.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to try. Nope, moving on.
And I will say this, Matt, because you have zero appetite for the usual virtue posturing that Hollywood takes on, right?
It's very empty calorie. Like, that's my main thing. It feels like a waste of time, and it feels like empty calorie when you come out and say, no, like, it's the same thing with the politician when they pause and then for dramatic effect say, one child hungry. is one too many. It's like, thanks, fuckface. We get it. We get it.
But this year with the wildfires, it's different because even though this is an international event, it's also a local story.
Yeah.
In the sense that this is L.A. And I realized, actually, during the fires, I've spent more time in L.A. than any other city other than Toronto in my whole life. You know, I've probably spent, if you add it all up, months and months down in L.A. And I don't like L.A. as a city, like, to live, but it is a fascinating place. And the world is worse off without it. And a big reason is entertainment. And you really feel it when you're there that the city is just, it's one big story.
Yeah.
It's one big, crazy, messed up, ego-driven story. This, I think that the Oscars should be LA's night.
I 100% agree. Absolutely should be. And if I think about my own life, LA next to Toronto is the most important city in my life because I'm a film guy.
Right.
What did I do last night? Hey, you know what? We haven't watched a Fatal Attraction in 25 years. Let's throw it on.
Matt, when I was at the museum last time I was down there, the Museum of Film Arts, they had a desk, the original desk from the set of The Godfather.
Ooh.
Do you know what it's like to stand in front of that frickin' desk?
Oh my God, that'd be cool.
It's like standing in front of Michelangelo's Pietà.
Yeah.
You know, or David. It's this artifact that has meant so much to us. It was weird. I actually took a step back. Like I was kind of like...
Oh yeah, out of reverence.
Reverential,
Out of respect.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the nominations.
We got 4 minutes left.
Okay, so I'm piss poor this year because I haven't seen barely anything.
Yeah, I've seen some, and I will see all by the time.
Do you have any you really like before we get into
Amalie,
this?
Amalie Perez.
Oh, you liked it?
I fucking love that movie.
Really?
I loved it. The key was I went in knowing nothing.
Right.
And I was in the whole time. Zoe Saldana was great.
Saldana,
like I'm going to get that right. She was great. I'm rooting for her to win so bad. The other main, protagonist.
You're almost there, buddy.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a musical, sort of. It was all these different things. Like, they took a big swing and it worked for me.
Every so often, one of the weird movies gets through. Like Birdman got through.
Yeah.
That one was a little bit weird. And you love that one, right?
Yes. Oh, I love Birdman.
And I'm trying to think, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once got through. So it could be the year if they want something weird. It could be The Brutalist because that seems to have racked up the early talk.
Yeah, it has that sort of sweeping American epic. I'm excited to see that. I know it's over 3 hours long, but it's only like 10 minutes longer than The Godfather, so I can do that.
If The Godfather's pretty entertaining, this one seems pretty bleak. By the way, for Best Actor, I'm installing my ABA theory, which is anyone but Adrian. I can't stand Adrian Brody.
It's funny. Someone brought this up that Adrian, if he wins, will go down as the least talented two-time Oscar winner.
It can't happen. He's my Djokovic.
Okay.
Where you acknowledge, okay, there's something there for somebody, but I just don't like his face.
Then you better be rooting for Timothy. You better be rooting for Chalamet.
Well, and I think he's going to win because they need another superstar. They need another Leo. Mm-hmm. They need somebody to take over the town.
Yeah.
And Chalamet winning, playing Bob Dylan. They love up-and-coming artists playing legendary artists.
And he did a great job.
I didn't see it. Joaquin Phoenix playing Johnny Cash.
And by the way, Joaquin Phoenix would have won for Johnny Cash until Philip Seymour Hoffman did Capote. And then I remember I saw Walk the Line. I'm like, ooh. Oh, look at you, Joaquin Phoenix. You're going to win the Oscar. And then 10 minutes into Capote, I'm like, sorry, Joaquin. It's going to go to this fella.
All right. So the most interesting race is the Best Supporting Actor because you have Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice with Kieran Culkin, who I forget the name of his movie, Jesse Eisenberg's movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But come on, if you watch Succession, I mean, that's Roman against Kendall.
I know. That's great. I can't wait. I can't wait for that.
Unbelievable. And it seems like the best race, maybe for posterity, might not be the Best Picture Award, but it might be Inside Out 2 versus The Wild Robot. Because when you're thinking about movies that we'll still be talking about in 50 years, they feel like classics, where everything else feels like something from a pretty good year.
I haven't seen those two. Obviously, you'd recommend both.
You know what, Matt? When you have a kid, you wind up spending a lot of time with animation.
Right.
This is less true because now CC started at high school. But it kind of got me back into my love of animation. And they're so well made. They're so thoughtful. And, you know, I was watching Endgame last night. And it's the closest Marvel got to emotion. But generally speaking, they don't really do emotions. They kind of do things that they're like placeholders. It's like, here's where the emotion will go. insert title card, you know, like they don't really have emotion. But Inside Out 2 and Wild Robot, think about the movies you grew up watching in Disney, like Bambi, you cry.
Yeah.
You know, Fantasia, you're amazed. Like these movies tap into that.
Okay. Oh,
and there's
cool.
There's something about animation right now. It feels like that's where the great movies come from.
All right. Well, we got a lot of time sitting on the couch, so we're going to be watching all those movies.
Timothy Chalamet, shimmy ya, shimmy yay.
Well, Bob, we will end it like this.
You're not sick.
Going back to the Matrix.
Uh-huh.
Instead of finding Neo, it's time for me to find some Neo Citroen. Ayo!
Chica. Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.